10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Radio Law Talk here on this ninth day of March. Can you believe how fast 2024 is going by? I can't believe that we are at March 9th already. We're a third of the way through March. We've already hit January, February. Tonight, here's the Radio Law Talk public service announcement. For those of you in states, that would be at least that I know of, not Hawaii and not Arizona. But for other states tonight, make sure you switch your clocks because we lose an hour of sleep tonight. This time tomorrow, when the sun is in the location in the sky, in the same location it is right now, tomorrow will be 10:07 a.m. and not 9:07 a.m.
That's just wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I read the news this morning. There's senators again making a push to try to do away with daylight savings time. And to that I say, go ahead.
Bring it.
Bring it.
Bring it.
Look, if Hawaii and Arizona have done away with it and have apparently no ill effects, have at it. What do you think, Denise?
I don't care.
You don't care?
I don't care. I've lived my life under daylight savings time, so it doesn't matter to me.
California legislature decided to get rid of it. They said, well, let's wait for Congress. And 15 years later, we're still waiting.
Yep.
It's great.
But this week was the first week this year that I didn't leave the office when it was still dark. Mm. It was really nice to leave the office and come out, and then there was still light. That was amazing.
Yeah, November and December roll around every year, and leaving the office at, on the times you get to leave the office at 5 or 5:15, which is usually a Friday, and then walking to your car in the dark, that just, yikes. By the way, Fred Penny on assignment today. I'm Todd Kunin, filling in for Fred. The angelic voice that you hear in her usual seat of prominence and power, and I'm not going to say any
words to start
with.
Joy.
There we go. Denise Dirks. Denise, how was your week?
It was a busy week.
Was it?
Yes, I'm getting ready for a trial. I've had five trials so far this year, but I've managed to settle them all.
Wow.
But the next one, there's no way I can settle. I have to just go through with it.
Going to be blood on the floor when it's all done, huh?
No, it's just a very important issue, involving children. So,
that's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing is when people hear a family law case go to trial, I think 9 times out of 10, if they don't really peel the onion, they're thinking it's a contested divorce. And in some jurisdictions, so for those of you that are listening, I think in Tennessee and other jurisdictions, yeah, cases go to trial because it's a contested divorce. You have to prove the grounds for divorce. But here in the state of California, where Denise practices, it's no-fault divorce, but there are still issues that have to be worked out, primarily child custody, child support, spousal support, who gets the
home?
Division of assets, who gets the home, the all-important, who gets the collection of Beanie Babies.
BG albums, the dog, yeah, all of that.
The dog, toys for the kids, which house do those go to? All sorts of things, but I don't know. Maybe you can't say. I was gonna. What is the weirdest, Denise? What is the strangest argument that you can think of that that, and doesn't necessarily have to be cases that you handle, but that you're aware of, that couples argued over and actually had to go to a hearing in court that argued over in a divorce?
Breast implants. That's probably one of the most weird ones.
The husband wanted them?
No, I wanted to be reimbursed for them because, you know.
I thought he was asking for visitation.
Or can you just give them to me? I mean, come on.
Reimbursement for cosmetic surgery.
Yes.
Okay. Hmm. Well, that's different. I mean, we covered the case once about the husband that was it the husband that sued his wife because he thought she was just knockout gorgeous, but the kids were ugly, and it turned out that she had had cosmetic surgery before getting married, and so he sued her for fraud. I think that, I don't think that was a case in the United States.
No, it was China. It was China.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, by the way, how did the implant case turn out, if you know?
Well, the judge said you had fair use for your number of years, and that's it.
fair use. Do you depreciate those?
Not unless you're in a certain industry.
Okay. Well, if you were in, if somebody was in sales, maybe you could claim it as a business expense for marketing.
I know that dancers have tried to do that.
Have they really?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a legal anecdote. Way back in the day, before I did criminal prosecution, defense, I practiced labor and employment law. I get to work one day. And the partners are kind of laughing, and they say, oh, we have a new case, and this is the case that you're going to handle. And the case ended up being a person who worked at a strip club, was no longer working there, and was suing her employer for back pay, for 3 years of unpaid wages at minimum wage, because the payment structure there was essentially, they treated it as a license. The dancer paid the venue a small fee for a license to use the stage and then got to keep all of the tips.
Oh, like a beauty shop kind of a
kind
thing.
Of, yeah. That was the idea that they had, got to keep all of the tips.
Yeah.
And so,
more like an independent contractor.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this was before California's change in law to gig worker. We're talking, this is early 2000s, okay? And so, the argument here was that the employer, the club, had acted in a way to destroy the nature of the independent contractor relationship by monitoring the kind of music that she could play when she danced to, the hours that she had to be there. And so because of these rules, that had destroyed the independent contractor relationship. Now, the employer's argument was, but she made more than enough in the tips because, you know, she was making $400 a night in tips. And that's when I learned, because, you know, minimum wage cannot be offset by a gratuity, right?
Correct.
Okay. So that's when I learned, I think it's Labor Code Section 352 in California, that the exotic dancer lobby a few years previous had lobbied and got the law changed to where it says any amount paid, because this is definition of a gratuity, any amount paid directly to a dancer shall be deemed a gratuity under this law. So none of that could be used to offset the minimum wage.
How did they lobby? Did they go to the legislature and say, can we come into your office? I mean, what happened here?
I wouldn't be surprised if they lobbied because the legislature was spending a lot of time in the venue of choice.
Or they lobbied from the desks of the venue.
Well, there you go. All right, folks, when we come back, we're going to get to case or no case. That's why everybody tunes in. No. And then we got cases to cover. A verdict in the Rust prosecution of the Armorer, Hotel California. How have the Eagles been benefited by that? And we have updates on other cases. Don't go away. We'll be back after this.
You are listening to Radio Law Talk on many great radio stations across the country, coast to coast and border to border, and, of course, on RadioLawTalk.com. We'll be back in just a minute.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family, take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. That's 800-283-6730.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now, maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. That's 800-481-5621. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. That's 800-352-3308.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. That's 800-918-1376.
And now what I'm about to say probably will stir up a lot of conversation around.
Don't let the fact that my door's closed dissuade you in any way from entering my office.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
This is a great time to call the show. 855-LAW-RADIO. That's 855-LAW-RADIO.
We are back at Cal. You know, you should scour for some of our bumps there. Remember the Hollywood Squares from the 70s? Anything that Paul Lynde said, he might have said some things that you can't say on the air now.
He did.
He was always the center square, but that guy was hilarious. And when people wonder about my sense of humor, you have to understand that when I would get home from school, so I started kindergarten in 1973, 74, 75, so from the mid-70s on, I would watch all of those shows, Match Game, Hollywood Squares. It definitely shaped my sense of humor. Absolutely.
And mine, I would watch Dark Shadows.
Oh, yeah. My wife loved that show.
Yeah. It used to scare the
that
you know what
all
out of
my
me.
Children. All my children and Dark Shadows were her thing.
In 1980, I was in the sixth grade. For some reason, the summer of 1980, I think it was the year, my friends and I got hooked on General Hospital.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And the storyline was searching for this thing called the Ice Princess, and it was exactly. Luke and Laura. And, oh, my gosh. And we got to where we knew the patterns of the writers, like you could tell before the first commercial, okay, these are the storylines we're going to cover. That's not it. We can go out and play. I'm not interested in what's happening with those folks. That's all who's going to marry who. I don't care. But, yeah, hey, look, there's only one reason most people come to Radio Law Talk, and that is for Case or No Case. Cal, take it away.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
And I thought it was for the pithy banter. Anyway, okay.
With Mike Tyson.
Yes. Clara Windsocket of Houston, Texas, has a problem. Houston, she had a problem. While she was married to her husband, Philip Windsocket, he committed a rather large amount of corporate fraud, a couple of $1 million, as it turns out. Clara was sad that he had done all of this under her nose, but said now she knows why he had such a poor work ethic. Philip had told investigators that Clara was fully aware of everything he was doing and, in fact, had helped him in some unspecified way, something she denied. She was found innocent, but Philip was not. And Clara thinks that Philip owes her something for falsely accusing her of participating in his white-collar crimes. She spent almost a month in jail while all of this got sorted out, and she wants, pardon my mouth here, sorry, and she wants Philip to pay. She claims that she has infamy because of him and that he has some legitimately acquired money stashed somewhere, and she wants it. She wants to know if she has a case or no case. Denise, what do you think?
Well, she can't go after the money that he's got stashed somewhere because it's not his money.
No, I think he said legitimately stashed money somewhere. Did you throw the legit word in there?
I did. Okay. Use the L word, yeah.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Of course that. Look, if you had illegitimately procured funds and you had to pay restitution, they will require you to use the legitimate money to pay that restitution.
I guess the question is, what cause of action would you sue him under? Malicious prosecution, perhaps, or abuse of process, perhaps?
Loss of reputation was one of the things that was listed.
Yeah, defamation, loss of reputation. So that's civil. I was trying to think of criminal. No case.
All right, Todd, what do you think about this? Clara Windsocket and her dastardly husband, Philip.
Okay, you might not have the answer to this question. I mean, assuming it's a real case.
Okay.
But do we know if in the criminal trial for... She was tried and acquitted, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Of helping him.
Of helping
right.
him.
Right.
Was he tried or did he confess?
He pleaded.
He pled.
Yeah.
Okay. Did he testify at her trial?
Yes. Against her.
Okay.
So he did the crime, and he turned state's evidence and tried to testify against her.
Well, yeah, he wanted to cut down on his term. Who can blame him, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to go with, oh, golly. Because I think this is probably, look, the first thing that I'm thinking of is how, in what way could he testify against her over the spousal privilege?
He just wanted to. He wanted to get a better deal.
I know, but she holds...
She has the right to claim the privilege.
She holds the privilege. Oh. So she could prevent him necessarily from testifying But there are some exceptions, and I'm thinking, is there a spousal privilege if it's statements made in connection with violating the law?
Yeah, a criminal activity.
But that might be see, that just gets to be a real sticky wicket here. But
which might be why Cal brings it up. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes, you know, I'm going to say that this is a scenario, but not a case. It was one that made a lot because of he throwing her under the bus, and Cal just asked the question, boy, I wonder if she could have ever sued him, but she never did.
Well, you're both right. She never did. And
and it's double or nothing.
Yeah, double or nothing day. So you get 4 points apiece. Next hour, the case of the insulted official who said, enough of this noise. That's next hour. On Case or No Case, and now back to the show with Todd and Denise.
So we're coming up on the bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Eagles, the band, the Eagles, Hotel California-related lawsuit. Now that case that you just did for Case or No Case is going to bug me. It's going to stick in my head about how far does the spousal privilege extend? I think that the telltale sign that it wasn't a case was that she would have had no money to get back from him, because even if he had legitimate funds stored somewhere, if they were able to find them, I think the government under the restitution provisions under the code would have clawed back and used that to repay and replenish the fund. The amounts that he embezzled.
Well, in this scenario, she didn't know where they were, and he wasn't talking, but she said, if he has it, I want it. And by the way, can you say the word Enron? That's what this was based on.
I was wondering if this was Enron.
Yeah.
All right, we're coming up on the break. After this bottom of the hour break, we'll be back. Don't go away. You're listening to Radio Law Talk.
Remember, Radio Law Talk is available 9 to noon Pacific every Saturday, live on RadioLawTalk.com and on many radio stations coast to coast.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do.
The best thing about Quick Quick Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell on your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quick Car Wash.
Man, I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quick Car Wash.
Quick Quick Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Uh-huh. Quick Quack Car.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. That's 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473.
Do you want to know the secret to putting extra money back in your pocket? Then switch your car insurance. And now you can make one phone call and shop dozens of insurance companies. Just like buying airline tickets, where it's easy to make one call that has all the best deals. We have great deals with most of the major top-rated insurance companies. We are your superstore for car insurance. We've switched people from their expensive car insurance plans and saved them hundreds of dollars a year. If you think you're paying too much for your car insurance, call now. It's easy to switch, and in 5 minutes, yes, just 5 minutes, you'll learn how much money you can save on your car insurance. Save yourself some money this year. Call now for your car insurance. Call eInsurance now for your free car insurance quote. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. That's 800-251-0427.
What's your IRS problem? Do you owe back taxes? Is there a lien placed on your property? Have your bank accounts been frozen or seized? Have your wages been garnished? Are you being audited by the IRS? Are they sending you letters that demand actions and have urgent due dates? Well, solving your tax problems is as easy as calling Taxes 321. The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. You need the best representation to give you peace of mind. You need experienced professionals that can cut through the red tape and stop the collection process. If you have a serious problem with the IRS, call the Taxes 321 Network today. We'll get them off your back.
800-738-0170. 800-738-0170. 800-738-0170. 800-738-0170.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4537. 802-341-4537. 802-341-4537. That's 802-341-4537.
And the prosecution has not presented one single piece of evidence against me.
Email the show anytime you'd like. info@radiolawtalk.com. I-N-F-O. Info.
Info.
@radiolawtalk.com.
.com.
On a dark desert highway, cool wind in my hair.
Now back to the show. Here are Todd and Denise.
Yes. This song. This song takes me back to, I mean, I was just a little kid when this was released, and this came out in the 70s, I think.
Yeah, but, around 76, 77.
Yeah, so I was, you know, 76, I was 8, 9 years old when this came out, but boy, it sure got a lot of play, and you hear it growing up, and right now, I hear the song, and I'm taken back to late 70s summers, just kind of hanging out and playing. Back in the day when the rule was come home when the sun goes down, and no sooner. You know, 7 kids in my family, mom needed a break. So,
I remember playing this on the record player.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like this album and The Joker.
Oh,
remember those?
Uh-huh.
I mean, they came out kind of in the same time era. And, oh, boy, we used to listen to him all the time.
Oh, Steve Miller? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The house, this one, for me, the house that I grew up in, it was purchased by my grandparents in the 40s. We lived in it. They had moved to Idaho, so we were living in this house. But it was an old hotel that had been kind of converted to apartments. It was built in 1865. And that is, it's a house my dad grew up in, and we were there. And it was, for me, the Hotel California, but I did check out and I did leave, so it wasn't that kind of a Hotel California.
God, when you say that, it makes me think of The Shining.
Red Rum.
Todd, you know, playing tricks on his younger siblings.
Here's Johnny.
It's probably a good thing. That would be the outtakes from The Shining, where they didn't do all the other stuff, but, you know, they did do the Tabasco sauce on the chapped lips joke. The, hey, do you want to have a banana eating contest joke? Yes, I was an evil older brother. But here, look. We're taking this walk down memory lane because this song, notwithstanding its age, has been the subject of a recent case in court, hasn't it, Denise?
Yes, it has.
So what is going on? This was a criminal case relating to possession of lyrics?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, manuscripts.
Manuscripts.
So the original manuscripts for Hotel California. Apparently, three different individuals, they were collectors, they were trying to sell the manuscript. And Don Henley found out about it, and some of the other band members found out about it, and they, you know, raised the issue with the prosecutor. And so the prosecutor, or the district attorney, brought charges against these three for stealing the manuscript. And what happened? So the trial starts and testimony starts to come out from different witnesses. However, what's found out is that these witnesses are hiding behind attorney-client privilege information and not sharing it with the prosecution. And when the prosecution finds out that there could be information to exonerate these three guys, and they hadn't been shared, that information hadn't been shared because of the alleged attorney-client privilege, then the prosecutor came in and said, we're going to drop this case. And the judge said, yeah, I think you should, because there was like thousands and thousands and thousands of additional documents that were released after they had claimed the attorney-client privilege. And then they released documents that clearly could have exonerated these three men. So that was interesting. Now, Don Henley is mad. He wants to sue civilly now. And he says, I'm the victim in all of this, and they have wrongfully taken this manuscript and tried to sell it. And so I'm going to sue him civilly. So we're going to have to see what happens civilly.
Yeah, this case raises so many issues here. And what I want to know is, when Don Henley and everybody else first found out about the presence of these manuscripts, was there an attempt to try to work this out civilly? Or did they just immediately go to the authorities and say, hey, heard about this, they're trying to sell this manuscript, and that is stolen property, and just turn it over to law enforcement and let law enforcement investigate it and then decide to take civil action after the resolution of the criminal case? Now, if the latter happened, as odd as it might seem, hey, I got no problem with that. I mean, look, if somebody steals something, regardless of what it is, you report it to law enforcement and let them do that. But it gets really dicey if it was an attempt early on to resolve this civilly, coupled with
the criminal prosecution
or a referral for criminal prosecution, because attorneys can get in trouble there. In California and probably all states, it's an ethical violation for attorneys to threaten or hold a criminal case over somebody's head in an attempt to resolve a pending civil dispute or a potential civil suit. I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable there. And the reason why is you just can't use that. It's where Avenatti got into some trouble. And it's where others get into trouble there, where you're threatening if you don't do this, I'm going to turn it over to the cops and let them go ahead and you're going to spend time in jail. Well, you're threatening criminal prosecution, a criminal case, to try to resolve a civil matter. And that's an ethical violation.
It is. And in this case, the judge made an interesting comment. He said the prosecutor let the celebrity of the victim go to his head and kind of blamed it a little bit on that specific prosecutor. And he said, you know, everybody has the right under the U.S. Constitution to confront their witnesses. And by allowing for the attorney-client privilege to try to shield the witnesses from full testimony, that was a violation of the U.S. Constitution. So it's pretty interesting in that reflection, too, that you can't use the attorney-client privilege to shield your testimony in a criminal matter.
It's right, because it puts the prosecutor in a tough spot, because prosecutors have an obligation. It's under Brady versus Maryland, there is an ongoing obligation of the prosecution to turn over evidence that is exculpatory to the defense, meaning evidence that would tend to show that they were not guilty. And the prosecutor in this case didn't necessarily know the substance of what was said, but knew that it was there and knew that it was being withheld. And so that, just the fact that, look, I know there's evidence, I know it's being withheld, that's Brady material. To look, you don't have to turn over the evidence, you have to turn over the evidence of the condition, of the situation, right? I did like what the judge said about the prosecutor. Notwithstanding, the prosecutor may have been caught up in the celebrity and, you know, I'm going to bat for the Eagles and woohoo and all that. But the judge, after saying that the prosecution was eating a, quote, slice of humble pie,
yeah,
the judge says they showed the highest level of integrity in moving to dismiss. I was talking with some folks the other day, and people ask about career advice. You know, what should I do? I'm a young lawyer. I want to do this. I want to do that. My career advice to people is, if you want to eventually hang out your shingle as a in any endeavor, the best thing you can do is get trial experience. Be comfortable in trial. And one of the best ways that you can get trial experience is to be a prosecutor, because a lot of cases go to trial. And the nice thing is, as a prosecutor, if they do it right, it's not about winning. It's not about winning. It's about winning right. It's about doing the right thing and having the integrity to dismiss a case when you don't have it, regardless of whatever pressure you might feel when you get back to the office after you dismissed a case. And prosecution here appeared to have done the right thing in dismissing that case.
Agreed.
Now, the fact that it was dismissed, does that mean now that Don Henley cannot bring a civil case?
No.
No, why not?
Because they're two different matters, and really, really two different issues. There's a factual dispute here. And apparently, one of the three defendants had obtained the manuscripts from a person who was doing a write-up on the Eagles during a time that they were being kind of featured in a news report or a newspaper article or something. So the question is the legitimacy of that person having the manuscript. Was that legal? Did they withhold it and keep it inappropriately? Or were they given it without any kind of, restriction?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's going to come down to a factual determination in the civil case. And my feeling is, It's got to get settled.
Quick trivia question for you as we head to the break here. Name a celebrity, well-known celebrity, that ended up going to prison because of the manner in which that celebrity tried to recoup memorabilia.
Oh, that's an easy one.
We'll be back after this. Radio Law Talk.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com.
1 out of 8 women in the United States will be diagnosed with breast cancer in her lifetime. And the chances are you know at least one person who's been personally affected. But right now, you can help. It's simple. Donate your unwanted vehicle, RV, or trailer to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. It's the easiest way to contribute to one of the nation's leading charitable organizations. The process is fast, easy, and free. Not only will you be helping, but you'll also receive a tax deduction. The United Breast Cancer Foundation offers an array of programs and services that help and support families and individuals dealing with breast cancer. But we can't do it alone. We need your help. Simply give us a call to get started, and we'll schedule a pickup date that is convenient for you. If you have any questions you would like answered before initiating the donation process, please feel free to call us toll-free at 800-511-6075. That's 800-511-6075. 800-511-6075.
Hey, listen up. Before the weather changes, get new windows in your home and save possibly hundreds on your energy bill. Call the Window Replacement Hotline right now and take advantage of their special savings event. Get your leaky, drafty windows replaced with energy-efficient, beautiful, virtually maintenance-free windows at this year's rock-bottom prices. Our prices are so low, we don't want to scare the competition. The only way to hear about our window savings is to call. Yes, you must call our special toll-free number for the best window replacement prices in town. Get your new windows, patio doors, and more from the Window Replacement Hotline. Get ready for the change in weather. Save on your energy bills. Call right now for tremendous prices on new windows and beautify your home. Call the Window Replacement Hotline now. 800-710-3739. 800-710-3739. 800-710-3739. That's 800-710-3739.
All right, guys, we need to have you read some lines for our disclaimer promo. But first, can anybody tell me what a disclaimer is? All right, then. Well, Denise, you go ahead.
Non uti consilius me oriere per questus purpurium juris consult.
Latin, that's a nice touch. Thank you, Denise. Next time we'll try it in English, if that's okay. Fred, how about you?
Cal, I don't want to read all this. Can't we just tell the people that we're discussing general legal issues and they should hire their own attorney instead of relying on what we have to say here?
Well, we could, I guess.
Let's have Todd do it.
Me? Read disclaimers? Why, I couldn't. The information you hear on Radio Law Talk is general.
The preceding promo was for entertainment purposes only. And if you want true legal advice, contact your own lawyer. Just a tip from your friends at Radio Law Talk.
Be sure to read our disclaimers on RadioLawTalk.com.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 plus Medicare, our free service can show you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistance programs, and save you money. Plus, call right now and get a free report on how to avoid costly Medicare mistakes. Call now.
800-220-7612. 800-220-7612. 800-220-7612. That's 800-220-7612.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
People must be idiots.
Now it's time for more Radio Law Talk.
All right, so I may have asked the no-brainer of all no-brainers going into the break. Name a celebrity. Somebody might not know this. Name a celebrity who actually ended up serving jail time because the manner in which they went about procuring or getting back memorabilia that they felt was ill-gotten by somebody else. And, Cal, do you have an answer to that one?
I do.
And?
O.J.
Yep. O.J. Who? Orenthal James.
McDuffie. No.
Orenthal James. You know, Orenthal James Simpson. If you watch, my son texted me the other day and says, hey, Dad, he's taking a forensics class in high school. And he says, Dad, we're talking about the O.J. Simpson case. Do you know anything about that case?
Never heard of it.
I'm like, you mean that case that
you
I was.
Have to be under a rock.
That case that I was. I watched the slow speed chase live because I was. The summer of 94 was the slow speed chase, and I was just finishing up college. I started law school in August of 95, and my torts class, they stopped the class, wheeled in a television set, and played the reading of the verdict.
Wow.
In my torts class. And I always wondered, forevermore, they'll hear the clerk botch his name. Because if you look at the raw footage, she says, the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, and she butchers his name. But if you watch any of the replay of that, they always edit that part out, and they play it as if there was no botching. my torts professor, as soon as they said not guilty, there was silence in this room. It was like 100 people in this class. Silence in the room. He went over to the television set, turned it off, and said, I don't even know why we're here, and left. Class was done for the day.
Wow.
And class had just started when we did that.
No, I believe that. I remember the way the reaction was based on race, actually. It split down the lines of race, which was really hard to watch. And I don't know. I couldn't believe that as much of the evidence that I had seen just from watching, you know, things on the TV that they had discussed in court that day, I couldn't think of how he could have ever been exonerated, to be honest. I mean, how do you explain blood, you know, swatches from your house all the way into your car, and footprints of blood, and footprints of blood in your car?
And
Bruno
Mali's shoes, which he said he didn't have, but they had pictures of him with them on the sideline. It was pretty interesting.
And DNA, to this credit, though, DNA evidence was fairly new back then.
Yes.
So the DNA, and it could have been that the jury didn't understand it, or they didn't quite believe it.
Or they didn't want
to. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, DNA evidence was just really, really new back then.
Right. So I've got an opinion about the DNA evidence, because Peter Scheck and Barry Neufeld, who were the two DNA experts for the defense, they came and spoke to our school a couple times. And they talked about the statistics that they would get for how they would come up with these astronomical numbers for one in, you know, two sextillionths of a chance that a random sampling would be this and that. And they had a lot of challenges to the way they were coming up with those numbers. But one of the experts that spoke said, look, here's the biggest problem with the way DNA evidence was presented in that case, because it was new. First, the opinion was the prosecution should have first looked and said, how would we prosecute this case if there was no DNA evidence? Because how were they convicting people 10 years ago when this stuff wasn't here? Because that should have been how you did it.
Blood type.
Because you had evidence, and make the defense come in with DNA evidence to try to poke holes of, hey, this could be this, this could be that. And there's no way the defense is going to touch that.
Yeah.
So that's one. All right. But the second thing is, I think the prosecution spent 2 weeks on DNA evidence.
Yeah, overkill.
2 weeks. And the general feeling was, you need to be able to present DNA evidence in a day. I've done DNA trials where I had to present DNA evidence in sexual assault cases. And to prove that, I had a defendant who said it wasn't me. And I said, well, you know, the epithelial cells taken from the inside of your cheek and from, say it was you, and I've had to present that, and we presented that in an afternoon.
Yeah, but you got to remember, when you first start with something that's scientifically new, you've got to establish that it's well accepted in the scientific community. So they had to put on a lot more witnesses, because it was not accepted under Kelly Fry. That's one of the cases that started.
Well, I get that. Right? I get that. But the hearing under Kelly Fry, by the way, Kelly Fry represents it refers to two separate cases, the Kelly case and the Fry case, that together essentially hold for this principle, that either party, you cannot introduce scientific evidence until you've established to the satisfaction of the court that this is a generally accepted practice within the scientific community. You have to go through this hearing. All of that is held outside the presence of the jury.
True.
I'm talking about 2 weeks of evidence to present DNA after the judge said, yeah, I'm letting it come in. And I'm putting the jury to sleep, and you got to find a way to do that in a day, and they
make it happy and exciting.
Yeah, and they didn't. And look, subsequent prosecutions, in one of, like I said, I've had two cases where I had to present DNA evidence. We did it in a day, and it made it there. But notwithstanding all the evidence, here's the one thing: if I credit the jury with anything, even though it may have been acting or whatever, but the prosecution didn't have any counter to it. And it's the tagline that Johnny Cochran used. And the reason why is, if it doesn't fit, you have to acquit. Because here's the issue. How do you explain a glove that is as bloody as it is, and How do you explain the fact that it does not fit the hand of the person that you're saying committed this crime?
Shriveling and shrinking from leather and blood. It did fit. That's the problem. It did fit.
It did fit. He just spread his fingers out and made it look like it didn't fit.
And look, so the jury is the one that has to look at that and say, is this a con job by somebody that is trying to put a glove on that it should fit? Or what's the prosecution going to do? And the big goof of all
was asking him to put it on.
And Chris Darden, the prosecutor, he did not clear that with anybody. That was what are you doing? And Marcia Clark, to her credit, when Chris Darden said, okay, I would now like to ask the defendant to try this glove on.
Oh, boy.
I mean, if Marcia Clark had popped up out of her seat and said, Chris, we need to talk about this, blah, blah. Well, now talk about that Pandora's box that you've opened and gift wrap for the defense. Ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution didn't even want you to see him try the glove on. Didn't even want you to see that. One person tried to do it, and the co-counsel objected to that, talked him out of it. And that was just
kind of darned if you do, darned if you don't.
Yeah, shooting yourself in the foot.
By the way, there's one trivia. Here's a little trivia. One case that was acquittal based on the uncertainty of now commonplace scientific evidence. Do you know what it was?
What's that?
Fingerprints and Lizzie Borden.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. They said, oh, that's an untested technology, Your Honor. Okay, her fingerprints are there, but that's unproven. We're not sure that's really her.
Here's an interesting, another tidbit that doesn't get a lot of play in the OJ case. I read, who was the guy that ended, Mark Furman, I read his book.
Yeah.
Okay, the disgraced detective and stuff. But there was something he said in the book that was true. When he was the first on scene investigated, and he turned his journal over to Van Adder, who later investigated. And he said, and he wrote in his investigation book, he found a print that looked like it had been, a thumbprint that looked like it had been in blood on the back gate of Nicole Brown Simpson's house that he said looked like it had at least 8 to 10 points of identification. And he turned it over, and nobody ever followed up on it.
Wow.
Before it was washed down. That would have been, you don't even need DNA if you're able to trace that one back. All right. Well, when we get back after this break, we're going to talk about, we'll talk about another murder case out of Idaho. What's going on there? We'll talk about a wrongful death case, not charges murder, out of Santa Fe, New Mexico, and other stuff here on Radio Law Talk. Don't go away. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back after this top of the hour break.
That's next hour, 6 minutes after, right here on Radio Law Talk, always at RadioLawTalk.com and on many great radio stations coast to coast. And we thank all of them for playing the big broadcast. And yes, we will be back. Stay tuned.
Been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.